Brother Ed, would you open us a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Speak to our
hearts. Amen. This morning, we're doing the lesson on the Gospels. I know it's kind of hard to keep track of what the schedule is with the number of speakers we've had on Sunday mornings and stuff. We won't be doing a lesson next week because we'll be starting the THREN meetings. So the following Sunday in 2 weeks, we'll be doing two lessons combined together at that time. But the lesson this morning is on the Gospels. We've come through the Old Testament, the Malachi, finishing up with that. And then you, Pastor Kinney did a introduction. There, so you, now you don't have to be cold, Terry. Okay. Did an introduction and the inner gospel period and stuff. And what we have is we look at the Gospels this morning. You got to remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a transition period from the close of the Old Testament to getting into the church age. And your text for, or your memory verse for today is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And so you need to remember that. And that verse should empower you because it's the power of God. We're on the street corner yesterday, Ed and I, because there were so many people going in so many different directions. I'm sitting there going, well, Lord, if I'm here by myself, I'm by myself. But, you know, Howard Bacon came and he held signs and we went to hand out tracts. There wasn't a lot of foot traffic, but there was a lot of the cars, the windows down. Only when I started singing did they roll the windows up. No. Okay, so we turn around, we're there on the corner and my wife was there and then Ed came. He was only about maybe 5 minutes late, something like that. And then, so the two of us were street preaching. And we got 10-1 good responses. People honking their horns, giving a thumbs up, people rolling down the window and going, keep doing it. Then we got a few that weren't so good because, got to remember, what does the word gospel mean? Good news. That's what it means. It's the good news of God to everyone that believeth. And we're giving the good news. And at one point, because I do it to, so I can push from my diaphragm, when I go to preach, I always sing, okay? Because it puts me in that place where I'm not doing it from my throat. I'm doing it from my diaphragm, and I'm pushing up so I can be heard louder, and I'm the loudest street preacher in the church, okay? And I'm singing Amazing Grace, okay? And then I sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And a guy goes down with kids in the back seat of his car screaming, blank Jesus, blank, fill the word in. It's a four-letter word. It starts with F. Blank Jesus, blank Jesus. He yelled it 10 times going around the corner. And all it did was make my heart sad, not only for where he's headed, but also what opportunity those children are going to have to hear the gospel. Because it's the good news. And see, we're not responsible for winning people to Christ. We are responsible to God for giving them the gospel. Some plant, some water, but God granteth the increase. The Holy Spirit needs to work in their heart, take the blinders from their eyes. And so it's the good news, and you know, and what we have, the Gospels are that transitionary period from the Jews and the Old Testament law into the full part of the New Testament, the gospel of the grace of Christ, the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, okay? And so you have the first three Gospels. I'm going to give you a fancy term or what they're called theologically. They are called the Synoptic Gospels because they are similar in many parts. And then the Gospel of John comes at it from an entirely different place. But they don't contradict each other. They give you a fourfold view. How many of you ever watched or looked at anything when somebody had to give testimony or they see an accident and they ask these different people? to give a testimony of the accident. Are they always 100% exactly the same? No, but they give different details. They complement each other. They come together. Sometimes one person sees very little or sees something different. Someone else gives another detail. That's the way the Gospels work. They are in harmony. They are in harmony. And you need to understand that so that you have the picture of the Gospels. And I said it means the good news. Turn to Proverbs 25. Now, if I were to ask you this morning if we are ambassadors, okay, are we ambassadors? For who? For Jesus Christ, King Jesus, we are ambassadors for heaven. I don't know about you, but that's about as far away a country as you can have, isn't it? Okay, look at Proverbs 25. In verse 25. Well, I want to read 24 because I always do. That has nothing to do with the lesson, but I pick on my wife with it every time we go through the book of Proverbs. Verse 24, so you want to get my sense of humor? You can pray for my poor wife. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Buster looked up at me, smiled, and went, mm-hmm. So I always emphasize those, you know, and that, and so I won't tell you the verses that my wife emphasizes about me, okay? But verse 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. Doesn't that just give you a picture in your mind? Nothing, when you're hot, nothing quenches your thirst like a nice ice-cold glass of water that you can take a few gulps and then you sip on. It just kind of brings your body temperature down, causes you to relax. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, what does it say there? So is good news from a far country. We're bringing them good news from a far country. I was dealing with something, a situation, and having to go over and talk about the difference between Arminianism and Calvinism this week. And if the names don't mean anything to you, don't worry about it, because neither of them are totally biblical. Okay? And if you want to know more about that, ask your pastor. Your senior pastor now, okay? He'll go, I'm going to send them back to you. You know that, don't you? Okay, but so it's a case of dealing with, and I want you to know, except from the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know in the Bible there's more than one gospel? There's the gospel of the kingdom. In the book of Revelation, you hear about the everlasting gospel. We're introduced to the gospel that Paul will preach in the four gospels, because it's four pictures of the good news of the coming of the Messiah, of the Christ, of God in the flesh. And so we have that. And so when you get caught up, I want you to know, I don't care, and I can explain it to you later. When you get away from the Bible, it always becomes about works. Every religion has an element of works in it. The gospel of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us, by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Our salvation is not based in our works. It's based in our belief in what Christ did for us. We have a clear definition of what the gospel is. I could pick on Michael Shelton this morning, so I will. Read to me 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4.
Thank you.
That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's your DBR, they used to say in our addictions program. Okay, the death, burial, and resurrection. Some people, they put all their emphasis on the death of Christ, and they have a dead Savior. Some people talk about him being buried, so they don't have, you know, it's like he doesn't have any effect on our lives. But the reason he was buried is because his soul went into hell, and he preached unto the prisoners there, the Old Testament saints, that were in Abraham's bosom, so that they could, he could lead captivity captive. And he rose again, according to scriptures, to show, and we preached it on the corner yesterday, to show that he had victory over our sin, over death, over hell, and over Satan. That's the good news. Christ died for everyone's sin, not just the Calvinist elect. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. That involved terrible suffering and pain. And I want you to think about that, what he went through to purchase me. So I want you to think in your mind, what did he go through to purchase me? That was the good news. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet not the friends of Christ, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you picture that? You know, it says scarcely for a righteous man would some dare to die. Do you understand? If God were to ask you, every one of you sitting here, me included, would we die for our worst enemy? What's the honest answer in your heart? That's what Jesus did. That is real love. The message of the gospel is the love of Christ. The love God has for us. God the Father gave his most precious. Jesus Christ gave everything. He went from being the second member of the Godhead to being the embodiment of sin and suffering an eternity of hell in 6 hours' time on the cross. When he said it's finished, when he went to preach to those in hell, he wasn't there to suffer. His suffering had already been completed. That's why he cried out, "I thirst." The same as the rich man in hell cried out, "I thirst." Why do we have four accounts? They were just ordinary men with ordinary lives until they believed on Jesus, when they believed in Christ. Matthew was your favorite person, right? He was a tax collector. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many tax collectors I'd die for. He became a follower of Jesus. Look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 9, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." I always get the picture. You know, it's like I could turn around, I could walk up, and I'd say, "Follow me." And some of you would go, "Okay, pastor, preacher, where you want to go?" Some of you would go, "Where?" Some of you would go, "Not now." Some of you'd go, "I don't need to follow you. I'm busy." How'd you like it if someone walked up to you at your job and they said, "Leave this and follow me"? There's just something about Jesus, huh? Something about him. He walked away from the way he made his living and followed the Master, the Savior. Matthew 10. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and what? Matthew the, not the Republican, okay? Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. He was one of the apostles. Then you have Mark. Turn to Acts 12. Mark is John Mark. John Mark. The Gospel of Mark is given to us by John Mark. Didn't he have a glorious beginning? He started with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas on the missionary journeys. And he turned back and didn't want to go. And it caused an argument between Barnabas and Paul. It was so great that their missionary endeavor split. Okay? The only reason I emphasize this is sometimes people draw back. They draw back. Don't you judge them yet. Take care of yourself. Because at the end of Paul's life, he says, and bring Mark with thee, for he is needful for me in the ministry. The Gospel of Mark, Acts 12 and verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. See, that's John Mark. Where many were gathered together praying. So John Mark, his mother was Mary. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Now that's not Mary Magdalene, and that's not Mary the mother of Christ. It was a pretty common name, right? It still is. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 10. And please don't name one of your sons Aristarchus. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And who? John Mark. Sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you have received the commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. That's the commandment of the Apostle Paul, the commandment of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. He was the nephew of Barnabas. See, some of the argument that happened was because of family. At some point, you know, many times, to me, family is very, very important. I talk to my sisters, except one of them, almost every week at some point. The one that I don't talk to, I talk to her at least once a month. She lives several states away. I talk to my brother on a weekly basis. Family's important to me. I've talked with Howard Bacon before about this, but you know, when you're willing to be vulnerable, you can end up being closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ in your church family many times more than you can be to your physical family. But there was this division that was taking place there. But that's the person, John Mark. He traveled with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. That's Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 5. I won't go there. He's not one of the apostles. The third gospel. So we've looked at Matthew, who he is. Mark, who he is. Luke was a doctor, the beloved physician. Turn to Acts 16. Acts 16, verse Acts 16, look at verse 10. They got the right. It's the wrong verse. It's not 15:10. Either way, I looked at that. They didn't go to read the verse. He was a doctor who joined Paul on the missionary journeys. Let me see. Let's say 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now go to Acts 21. And it came to pass after that we were gotten from them and had launched out, we came a straight course to Cus, on the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara. So he's on his missionary journey. Luke traveled with him. Go to 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul had an eyesight problem. That's why it says, you see which large letter I write unto you. It really wasn't that big. Paul traveled serving the Lord, and who traveled with him? Second Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. Paul's talking about this one separated from him. I've left this one to minister in this church. I've done this, this, and this. But Luke was with him. Can you imagine what it's like that you have to have a doctor travel with you everywhere you go? That you have enough problems that a doctor's with you. Luke was a general practitioner of the day. And he's the one God used to give us the gospel of Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. Okay, so you have the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Because Luke, always being with Paul, he saw it all. He could give a clear testimony of it, not just by the leading of the Holy Spirit, but also by being there and seeing it. That brings us to John. John was a fisherman who decided to follow Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Preacher, I can't do that because I'm not smart enough. Preacher, I can't do that. I'm just a plain person. Preacher, I can't do that. I don't want to embarrass my Savior. No, you don't want to embarrass yourself. I could tell you a couple of weeks ago, I lost my temper on the corner and someone was screaming, calling us a fool. And I said, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Okay? See, it's not based off my ability. It's based off my willingness. And you have John, Matthew 4, look at verse 21. And going from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He's involved in the family business. He was a commercial fisherman. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and did what? Man, there's something about Jesus. They followed him. In Matthew 10 and verse 2, you find out he is one of the 12 apostles. He gave us the gospel of John. God inspired him to give us the Gospel of John, plus 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Each written account gives us the record for the most part. Again, I told you, explains Jesus from slightly different emphasis. It is true, there's no contradictions. People who try to tell you they find a contradiction in your King James Bible, they're misinterpreting things. There's nothing that can't be shown that it's not a contradiction. We talked about the different way they saw things. Matthew puts an emphasis on Jesus being the King of the Jews. He's the coming King. Mark puts an emphasis on Jesus being the suffering servant, the servant of man. Luke puts an emphasis on Jesus being the Son of Man, a perfect man. In John, the Gospel of John, and that's why we give people a John in Romans many times, if they'll take it, because John shows him in the greatest part of his deity as God the Son to bring more authority to him. He puts emphasis on him being God in the flesh. The Gospels record the life of Jesus up to 40 days after the resurrection. So he told you it's a transitioning period. The Gospels in Acts are a transition from Old Testament through the crucifixion to the Gospel revealed to Paul, the Gospel of grace by faith plus nothing. How should we teach the gospel? Every one of you in here has a responsibility to give the gospel. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. How should we teach and preach the gospel of love? How should we preach and teach the gospel of grace? How should we preach and teach the gospel of judgment? It must be with love. If you don't see your Savior for all He is, how are you going to return to Him the love He's given to you? Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, because fear hath torment. We love him because he first loved us. You want to see Christ first. Because Jesus didn't say, if I see the sinner in their sinful condition, I will draw men unto me. He said, if I be what? Lifted up, I will draw men unto me. So you got to lift up Jesus. And then you have to see the person you're dealing with, not in their sinful response to you, but in their condition towards the one you've lifted up. So you've got to give the gospel and preach the gospel with love. I will never, and the people on the street corner, they don't present hell without presenting heaven. They don't present the problem without presenting the solution. You've got to preach the gospel with love. It says, and again, and now, it also we should preach the gospel with compassion. On some have compassion making the difference, and others hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Sometimes preachers use it, we like little quick things that you can remember, right? So you got to make them mad before you can make them sad, before you can make them glad. I didn't like it when my friend Dan Demarest told me I was a sinner, condemned to hell, before I got saved. And I'd slice and dice him. We'd talk back and forth. Danny wasn't as quick on the trigger as me, but boy, he had Bible memorized, Scripture memorized. And he'd say something, I'd try to slice and dice to protect my self-righteousness and saying, how can you do this and how can you do that? And he'd just give me Scripture. And that tore me up. But he did it with love. With love. I knew he cared about me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's got to be with love. It has to be with compassion. What does that mean? Co. With. Passion. Compassion. You should preach the gospel with boldness. They couldn't believe the boldness of the disciples, of the apostles, because they knew that they were unlearned men. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. You need to be with Jesus. How can you do that today? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is a picture of you being with Jesus. How can you be with Jesus? You need to spend some time in the good news. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Don't tell me you are too busy to spend time with Jesus. He loves you. He said that he would be with you and in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But you have the Spirit of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Are you spending time with Jesus? If you don't, you know what? You won't have him high and lifted up in your life, and you won't see sinners in their lost condition. And it won't be the good news. I've mentioned it before. I think it's Lee Tam. I can't remember for sure. I remember reading about his life story. He escaped communist China, came to this country. He was a preacher. He traveled around trying to encourage churches and tell them the truth of the persecution, the murder, and the martyrdom that was taking place in communist China, which is still taking place today. Very knowledgeable in the scriptures. A very humble man. Quiet in his presentation. Not a very big man. But powerful when he preached. And they asked him, "What do you do to start your day?" I told you, preachers like simple little sayings that stick with you. You know what he said? "No Bible, no breakfast." It is your milk. It is your meat. It is your living water. It is your bread. It's a balanced diet. How healthy would you be if you took in physical substance, meals, food, whatever it is? How healthy would you be if you took in your food, physical food, the same way you took in your spiritual food? Just a question. It's the good news, and you've got to spend time with Jesus. The good news, the gospel is for who? Mark 16. Jesus, just before his ascension into heaven, in verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into what? And preach the gospel to who?" So the message is for who? See, you've got to preach it with boldness, knowing that it's true. You've got to preach the gospel with faith, trusting that others might believe. You've got to preach the gospel with a Christ-like life to back it up. There's a reason you should live right. Do you know that? It's not so much that they're going to think you're something special, but you get a chance to talk about the one who is special. You should preach in obedience to Christ's command. We just read it. Go into all the world. That's Mark 16, 15. Matthew 28, 19 through 21. What does it say? You're to go and you're to preach. You should have a Christ-like spirit in doing it. Question, how often do you pass out tracts? If you're a man who works or a woman who works, do the people you work with know above everything else that you're a Christian? Do they know that your Savior's lifted up in your heart and in your life? Have you ever given them a track or witnessed to them, or do you make it about you? Now, I know you can't steal time from your employer. But you have breaks. You have lunch. You have your time. Do they know the one who loves you? Do they know the one that you love? We love him because he first loved us. I only got to give out two tracts yesterday. There was hardly any foot traffic. We can't step up to the cars and hand them into the cars. Many heard the gospel. It was preached. Ed was preaching. I was preaching. We had a lady come up. I just appreciate. Howard has a very humble, willing spirit. Howard was the first one in the corner with me. Judy was a few minutes late. Ed was a few minutes after her. Howard and I got there first. We prayed and we started. It had gone about 5 minutes. Judy got there maybe 10 minutes late, 7 minutes late. Ed was only two minutes after her. I preached the first time for 17 minutes, and then Ed took over, and he came partway through that. And young woman. I hate to think that. I was kidding. I told Howard, I says, two of the oldest members of the church are on the street corner. Okay? Let's keep it going for Jesus, all right? And she comes up, and she looked a little rough. And she comes up, and she walks up to us, and she's going, today's my birthday, or my birthday's on the 14th. Could you please just give me some money? I'm hungry, and I need to eat. I haven't any food today. I don't carry any money, people. Everything on me is plastic. I'm not giving her my credit card. I took open my wallet, and I went like this. I'm sorry, honey. And that's what I said to her, honey. That's the way my mom always talked to me, so I refer to women as honey and sweetie and everything. Just a habit, all right? Even though I was raised up north, that's a southern habit. It's the honey child. And I said, silver and gold have I none. I got some receipts. And I said, but such as I have, I give unto thee. And I gave her a tract. Well, that didn't feed her, did it? I looked at Howard and said, Howard, I'm the one preaching. Howard's holding up a sign. I handed him the church credit card. And I said, take her into Wendy's because we're on that corner. And I said, buy her what she wants to eat. Howard took her in. She ordered food. She gave him he came out, he tried for about 10 minutes to get her to hear the gospel well. And she came out. She didn't tell him thank you. She didn't tell me thank you. She came back out. She'd been sipping on something. She was eating a Frosty or whatever it was. She'd had food. And I asked Howard, and then she walked away. And I said, did she listen to you? And he said, sorta. She didn't get saved, Pastor. She's got the track. But she was more interested in her physical things than she was in her eternal state. He gave her a clear presentation of the gospel. Do you know he did, and as a church, we did what was needed for her? Some plant, some water, but God granteth the... So I'm praying that tract that she still had will be opened up in her bedroom or her wherever she is, and God can break through. But we met a physical need, trying to show her her spiritual need. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's for the whole world. It's also John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that it's for the whosoever's. Amen? It's for the whosoever. Who's a whosoever? A whosoever. Whoever you run into, it's for them. I had two people reject a gospel tract yesterday because they were already saved. And they said, but thank you for being here. It's for the world, it's for whosoever. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. Who's the good news for? 1 Timothy 1, look at verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul writing unto Timothy, giving by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of what? All acceptation. That means all acceptance. Everyone should accept it. Worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Save sinners, of whom I am chief. See, God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Paul knew who he was, chief of sinners, used of Christ to take the good news to other sinners. See, so it's for the world, it's for whosoever, it's for sinners. Look at our memory verse for this Sunday, verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? To who? Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what? It's for those who desire salvation, who are willing to believe. I asked you this morning, when did you first believe the gospel? When did you first believe the gospel? Me, mine was a very clear one. April 10th, 1977. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'll never forget it. Judy was January 19th, 1978. I'll never forget it. I can remember where she was when she got saved. I can remember who she was with when she got saved. I can remember I was so angry when I broke into a room at the prayer house in Oswego when some crazy charismatic pastor had taken my wife and snuck her away from me while other people were distracting me. And I started kicking doors in and upstairs. Where is my wife? And I was ready to murder somebody. The first year I was saved, I read through my Bible once a month. I was in the flesh. I was ready, and I break in that door. And as I kicked that door in, and I did, it was boom, because I heard a man's voice and I heard her voice in a room with a shut door. And I stepped into that room, and that preacher was on one side of a coffee table, kneeling, and she was on the other side of the coffee table, kneeling. And I got to hear her pray the sinner's prayer. Accept Christ as her Savior. And God dealt with my heart. That was the most important day in her life. It was probably the second most important day in our marriage, because it can change someone's life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's present tense imperative. It's continuing on. What happens when someone doesn't believe? We like John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They're condemned if they don't believe. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. So the gospel is for the whole world. It's for everyone. It's for sinners. And it's for those who are willing to accept him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And all God's people said, take a break.